This program was first broadcast on Arrow FM, Wairarapa's only community access media station, and shared on Access Media with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Sorry. Good afternoon and welcome to Shoutopedia. I'm Shoutopedia on today's show. We'll discuss better stories between New Zealand and the Cook Islands, plus that is all going to come up in my show after we play Busy Woman by Sabrina Carpenter on Shoutopedia on Aero FM.
Mature, collected, and sensible. Except when I get hit with rejection. To turn me down, well that's just unethical. I'll turn into someone you're scared to know. But if you need my love, my clothes are off, I'm coming over to your place. And if you don't need my love, I didn't want you, little bitch, yes. Yoga, baby, namaste. If you don't want me, I'll just deem you gay. But if you need.
That was Busy Woman by Sabrina Carpenter on Shoutopedia on Arrow FM. Looks like a Cook Islands government has raised an action plan to agree with China in the face of protests in Rarotonga and a crazy headed to message issues from Foreign Minister Winston Peters. Peters says his move had been agreed to, which Cook Islands government still haven't been released for the latest crime. Shows how tense relationship between New Zealand and the Cook Islands have become. Through our spokesperson, Peters renewed calls for consolation and transparency. After the Cook Islands Foreign Minister Tika Ilakana raised a strategic partnership side with China. But this week, concerns the Cook Islands' growing relationship with China and more explicitly a sign of DC new political and economic agreement between those two nations. Peters, in a statement, Christians more than a greater. We're now proceeding to analyze the agreement called this and its implications for New Zealand, the Cook Islands people, and the realm of New Zealand. A spokesperson for Peter said, we know from various public statements by the governments of Cook Islands and China that have signed a number of agreements last week. We look forward to a release of those agreements with us, like the statement said. So, how do we get there and where next for the New Zealand Cook Islands relationship? The New Zealand Cook Islands relationship, New Zealand and the Cook Islands have a formal relationship for more than half a century, dating to 1965. All three of the Cook Islands is a self-governing nation, it is in association with New Zealand. What it means is that most Cook Islanders are New Zealand citizens, but also has status of Cook Island nationals. Cook Island nationals have a right to become citizens of New Zealand and can also receive New Zealand government services in New Zealand, such as healthcare and education. Just over 50,000 Cook Islanders live in an island to itself. A further 80,000 live in New Zealand. Over 5 of 1 were born here. From a political perspective, the Cook Islands conduct its affairs and the New Zealand cannot pass rules for the Cook Islands, while Rangitoto had its own foreign service and diplomatic network. New Zealand does, however, have a constitutional responsibility. To respond to requests for assistance with foreign affairs, disasters and defence from the government of Cook Islands. Tensions erupt over passport idea. Tensions between the two nations rose in 2024 when Cook Islands Prime Minister Mark Brown announced it wanted to introduce the Cook Islands passport and citizenship. The move would mean a significant break between those two countries, as most Cook Islanders are New Zealand citizens and gain the associated benefits. Peter said any charges could only come through a referendum to put Cook Islanders in, as such a decision would signatory to a move towards independence for the Cooks. He added that it would require a major shift in the relationship between New Zealand and the Cook Islands, and will raise fundamental questions around constitutional arrangements and the issues of shared citizenship. But it says confirmed the proposal will not go ahead, say New Zealand. Peter said over the move. Demand dispute emerged if relations were really strained thanks to possible issues that have only deteriorated in favor over a new political agreement signed between Cook Islands and China. Known as a comprehensive strategic partnership, the agreement will see the Cook Islands and China cooperate more on economic, environmental and political issues while supporting other in safeguarding core interests. The contents of which I revealed on Tuesday stated both sides will work together as equal partners and conduct genuine consultation and meaningful dialogue with a sincere desire to promote the win of both countries. As a result, the Cook Islands will draw more support from Beijing across key centers, including trade, investment, tourism, infrastructure, climate, resilience and renewable energy, agriculture, maritime, oceans, seabed, minerals, development. Brown went to Beijing last week to sign an agreement. The agreement has not pleased the New Zealand government, with Peter saying the Cooks failed to properly consult New Zealand on their plans to sign an agreement despite repeated requests to do so. Wellington also wanted to see contents of the agreement before it was signed. The Cook Islands and New Zealand signed a joint sea-tiering declaration in 2001, which outlined obligations to consult on security issues and cooperate on matters of mutual interest. Peters maintained a lack of consultation from Brown does not align with an agreement between two countries and fears a potential breach of constitutional arrangements. Wellington also holds concerns on aspects of a deal will not align with New Zealand's national interests, possibly threatening the 2001 agreement with the Cooks. Brown goes on the front foot. Brown says agreement with China complements, not replaces, but Cook Islands relationship with New Zealand. This is a clip from Freddy's expressing concerns over Cook Islands with China and the old boroughs that are busy dealing with boot camps, which were actually not approved, criminal behaviour, Muzzy will probably re-offend.
The government is refusing to release information about the re-offending rates of participants involved in its controversial youth boot camps. Senior political correspondent Jenna Lynch joins us now. Well, OK, Jenna, why are they keeping it quiet?
Yeah, so last week, Labor asked the Minister for Children, Karen Chua, to confirm whether 6 of the 9 participants of the youth boot camps were back in custody, were back in youth justice facilities. The Minister of Children, Karen Chua, said at the time that she wouldn't answer that question, citing privacy. Oranga Tamariki has also refused to release any detail about the re-offending among those 9 participants of the boot camps, again, citing privacy. Now, reducing reoffending is the entire point of this policy. It takes recidivist young offenders, puts them into a boot camp. It's a sharp intervention in their life to try and turn it around. When the government was introducing the policy, they were warned that previous iterations of the boot camps had had recidivism rates or reoffending rates of upwards of 80%, and therefore they were unlikely to work. But the Prime Minister and the government said this time it will be different. But he is refusing to release any of the data which proves otherwise.
One of the positives that came out of the pilot review, I remember, as I flicked through, was saying that there wasn't actually any child on child violence, which is a very common factor within the youth justice facility. So something we did right
tell
there.
Us that, and you can't tell us something we did.
No, I'm talking in the macro. I'm not going to talk specifics around individuals that may.
I'm not asking for specifics around individuals. I'm asking for a rate.
Yeah, and I'm saying to you, I'm not talking about individuals and their personal circumstances for privacy reasons.
Now, the opposition has pointed out that the government was quite comfortable talking about individuals and their circumstances when it pointed out that one had gone on to get a job or one was in work experience, one was looking to get a job soon, and that 6 were in education. So the opposition is saying that the government is quite happy to talk about individuals when it is a success story, just not the pitfalls of the program.
And Jenna, the Prime Minister also talked today about Destiny Church's charitable status.
That's right. So he was asked after what happened on the weekend with Destiny Church members storming into that library whether he was willing to review the charitable status of Destiny Church. It follows a launch of a petition with over 45,000 signatures calling for their charitable status to be revoked. The Prime Minister answered that the church's charitable status would form part of a review into the charity sector. So he's not looking to single out Destiny's Church with that, but there has been a lot of talk around here about charities and the tax that they pay. Nicola Willis said she was doing some work on that and perhaps to look out for something in the May budget when it comes to that one.
Well, whether you've been camp, It's definitely a massive reoffending rate. Except quite fair, one thing, we've even got a job when I was assuming to the court guidance statement, he said our relationship and engagement with China complaints not replaces our long-standing relationship with New Zealand and our various other bilateral, regional and multilateral partners in the same way China, New Zealand and all the other states confront relations with a wide range of partners. Brown also maintains that the Cooks engage openly and transparency to secure the best outcomes for Cook Islanders. With this, he had rejected suggestions that the Cook's relationship with New Zealand had broken down as a result of signing an agreement of a process around it. Speaking to Cook Island News, Brown said that this, despite recent disagreements, the relationship between the two nations remains very strong. Brown has, however, argued Cook Islands was not expected to consult New Zealand on a deal. What about China? The signing of the agreement has ignited a debate on China's growing influence in the Pacific region, with superpower developing closer ties with many Pacific nations. Many analysts see China's moves on the region as an opportunity for them to leverage assets in Pacific nations through both financial investment and security. China has diplomatic relations with Cook Islands since 1997 and Faroe Islands, nation's third largest development partner after New Zealand and Australia. A Chinese foreign minister spokesperson said last week that China stands ready to grow ties and carry out cooperation with Pacific Island countries, including the Cook Islands. Addressed the issue with New Zealand, they addressed that the relationship between China and the Cook Islands does not target any third party and should not be disrupted or restrained by any third party. Yeah. What happens next on its arrival back from China? Brown told reporters he was hoping to talk to the New Zealand government to heal some of the good from the outside. Brown remained confident that we would know areas of concern for New Zealand within the arrangement. I'm sure once the New Zealand government has a look at, there will be nothing to them to be concerned about. He added he was not concerned by any consequences the New Zealand government may impose on this country as a result of the agreement. Brown has faced a vote of no confidence motion filed by the opposition. There also mounted public pressure on Brown, and protests took place outside of Cook Islands Parliament on Tuesday. With the details of the arrangement now released, Peter said the New Zealand government will proceed to analyse its contents and the implications for New Zealand. Peter added that consolation and transparency must lie at the heart of the New Zealand Cook Islands relationship. Right now, the next song I will be playing for today is Sports Guy by Terry McRae on Jadapedia on Federal Sports Car by Tony McCrae on Chatterpedia on Chatterpedia on Arrow FM. Well, David Seymour's a bloody numdy. He is actually a neo-Nazi that he wants to cause division to our country, especially wanting to go ahead in a second treaty referendum about which national newspapers were opposed. And David Seymour has dominated the kennel table so far in this election as he reason behind us more cuts and more brain drain to Australia as we're getting more fewer university choices. But most of the time, he's mostly about identity politics. That David Seymour claiming that mine is a triple treaty eagle while they aren't. That's why we need Maori electorates to keep those. To keep those Maori voices to account. But both of them will lead to loss of local Maori voice and conversation. That's what David Seymour wants to do because he's a bloody idiot as David Seymour. David Seymour wants to extend euthanasia to include disabled people like me, which I'm not going to take up because I like living my life disabled here. What did he have to say in this recent video? Because for the left workers, you will probably hate seeing this. And that even drives my mum mad. This is what I have to say.
John Kamihere says that the probing to Te Pāti Māori and Manurewa Marae and etc, he's saying it was politically and racially motivated. What do you say?
Well, if he's got any evidence that there's political and racial motivation, he should present it. What it looks like is that somebody's been misusing data. I also see he's admitted to photocopying the forms. What was that for? Generally, the explanation for people being investigated and punished for crime is committing crime. And when people say it's about my identity, I think they show us why identity politics is actually corrupting our ability as a country to get on and solve problems.
Misusing the data hasn't been established yet. It's been referred to the Privacy Commissioner of the police. He says that they won't have a case, it won't stack up, the threshold is too high.
And that remains to be seen, but that's a question of what are the facts, what has happened. The authority's job is to establish the facts and have justice A, done, and B, be seen to be done. When someone tries to muddy the waters with this is all about my identity, people are prejudiced, people are racist with no evidence, that's what New Zealanders are getting sick of.
If it does turn out that the data was inappropriately used, is there a questions to be raised about a by-election in Tamaki Makaurau?
Well, again, that's something that's up to the courts and the Electoral Commission. But I would have thought that, you know, if you come to the conclusion that someone is in Parliament due to electoral fraud, then that's one of the most serious things that can happen in our democracy. And I would say that there's proper legal processes for that. I don't think it helps me to weigh into it.
Should she be fronting up to media?
Well, again, I think it's up to her. If there's legitimate questions that the public have an interest in, journalists want to ask, you know, personally, I always answer them.
Do you think the Electoral Commission should be investigated over Manurewa Marae's involvement in the election?
Well, again, they have to set up polling places, and those polling places should be a safe place for New Zealanders to exercise their democratic right with not even the perception of any kind of misdoing. It seems in this case that may not be what happens, and yes, I think that there should be investigations.
Te Pāti Māori says that when Peter Sharples was the MP for Tamaki Makaurau, they had a polling booth at Māori Waititi Marae, which he essentially established. What's the difference there, I guess, is the question.
If there's any accusation that data was misused or the election was corrupted, that's a major issue. As far as I'm aware, that was not what happened then.
See, David Seymour did the right thing to extradite Maria Murray corruption trial, but he's still but an asshole, alright. God, I can't wait to isolate Dubai so he'd be kicking him out for good. I'm not looking forward to becoming him deputy prime minister. Otherwise, he'll probably make even worse. Look what happened, especially what they're doing to students. Because it will probably feel a brain drain if it goes ahead. Players are reduced university funding for Tertiary Education Union, and sources said to say courses will be closed if funding is cut. And if, of course, these are always reduced in New Zealand, and then students say there'll be yet another reason for them to move to Australia. Staff review for government has briefed university leaders about players that end 4% lifeline funding boosts. Various said Fair Boost in 2023, a stopgap measure to prevent more courses from being canned. At a time when Education Minister Chan Tinity announced a review on how university funding worked, the plan was to have new funding mechanism in place by 4% lifeline funding country in this year, but a review is ongoing. Now, if I said budget funding is said to come to an according to budget briefing information leaked to staff. Sources in the territory said the COVID will be warned but funding will not be extended and prepared for a funding cut. Those who have been briefed on the government's plan called a decision catastrophic and alarming. However, staff understands universities are now looking what courses can be cut to bring down costs. Tertiary Education Union President Dr. Sandra Gray removed that much needed benefit would be bad for the economy. Education have long lasting impacts for students. Look, universities are so cash strapped right now that any reduction in profession will lead to reduction in courses, less opportunities for students, and of course, more staff will go. There's no other way that can make savings of 4%. They have been cut to a bone, she said. Grey printed fees will go up as well. Yes, the government said we can push more of a cost to our university education teachers so it can raise fees by 6%, she said. With fees expected to rise and study after the city to be taken away, Judith Ray Weldon for the start of our week were pessimistic about the future. Students who spoke to staff about the funding change said Australia's working increasing in citing. Australia charges New Zealand's domestic student visa and doesn't require student visa applications. If local visa had cut more courses, the students said they look to enrol offshore. Victoria University Wellington students Associate President Levin Ali said further funding costs will be felt for graduate and also make it harder to students afford to study. Without the funding, university property, fees will be more chance who can't come here anymore. He said, First Association's Academic Vice President Evan Rogogon said this move will be another push for young people to move to Australia. It is incredibly concerning for our turn New Zealand economy if young people keep having to turn to Australia and leave this country in search of high-paid jobs and degrees they want. He said government needs to invest in its young people through better funding of universities. Rogogon said the government is yet to publicly confirm this funding decision or for multiple sources of knowledge. Of a teacher said the funding plan confirmed to staff. Prime Minister Kosalaga said he will not preempt budget decision. However, he had encouraged universities to look to alternative revenue streams. Whereas the opportunity for academics in particular who did a pretty phenomenal research to make sure their parents get commercialized, they need to participate in that and a research program to do it too, he said. However, by contrast, Gray said, from a teacher education unit, said it was the wrong approach. In universities are not business. She said, looks like Ed Party wants to treat universities for business. And it won't cut the funding and kick over young people out because I have a theory that Dyson Sema actually hates young people. All we want to care about is wealthy mates. It gives a tax both to corporations over wealth and being of its students. This is going to be infuriating watching this video. Another reason why I want to do this funding cut, because everybody wants to sell university off to the private company. So it can have screw you kids.
News can reveal universities are getting ready to cut courses after a leaked budget briefing showed the government plans to end a lifeline funding boost. The government is yet to confirm its plan, but the sector's gearing up for a fight. Glenn McConnell has the story.
As our week kicks off, some bad news for students. Courses could be cut and their fees are going up.
What I'm saying is if we keep going in this direction where we don't fund universities fully, we're going to have a lot of students that won't be able to come to university.
3 News has been leaked details from budget briefings that reveal the government plans to remove a 4% lifeline funding boost for students. But the government is keeping quiet. We asked the Prime Minister twice if tertiary funding was in line for a cut.
Well, look, I'm not going to talk about what's in and out of the budget. Look, again, I'm not going to preempt budget conversation.
A worrying sign for universities.
A reduction in courses, less for students to choose from, and of course, staff going. There is no other way that they can actually make savings of 4%. They've been cut to the bone.
This 4% funding boost came in 2023 when Labor was under pressure about courses being cut. They announced a 2-year funding review and these 2 years of extra funding. But that review isn't yet complete, even though the funding is set to end.
If a university is getting smaller, then fewer courses, obviously fewer interests.
The Prime Minister's advice for cash-strapped unis: find new ways to make money.
The opportunity in universities is also to make sure, as you've seen with the changes I've made around the science sector and putting universities with the science sector under the leadership of Shane Retty, is to make sure that our universities are actually managing their IP in a way that they can actually commercialise their research and development.
Universities aren't businesses. Research and knowledge development training is not a business.
The sources we spoke to clearly wanted to get this out ahead of the government's budget to drive pressure on ministers to increase and not cut education funding. They are calling this a catastrophic and alarming decision. Finance Minister Nicola Willis is set to confirm her budget on May 22.
Eating my decision that universities 4% yet to be cut, or that those ever wants to waste all the credit by ending it and wants us to young Joseph to flock over the streets for better start opportunities and better paid student life. Because those there wants to cut all of that. Same alongside Nicola Willis, who secretly wants to cut away VVCs, which Chris Luxon also opposes, because Chris Luxon wants to review for 4% savings so he can be renewed right now. So, since New South has lost a lot of credibility lately, especially engineers who ended up moving over to Australia, this government has the most brain drain government it's ever had. No wonder why 70,000 New Zealanders left their country, most go to Australia, Europe, or North America. It has to do with its bad coalition government policies, like push driving down the economy and their point is slowly getting worse, which will take a while to recover. If New Zealand don't get equal back, so I think New Zealand is looking to change the government back to Labour, which hobby to give us high wages and driven out unions more. But Labour will probably drive us more by signing a free trade agreement with India. Fair quite circle as far as the combined on a 2020 region before his loss in 2023. So next song, it will be a death metal song. It will be So Sorrow for Vengeance by Nerd Quartet on Shadowpedia on Arrow FM. Fail Soul Sorrow for Fate by Nick Quartadon, Jada Peter on RAV for moving a dig of a West Jet Fight against the East again in what were called a new Cold War. But with President Trump back in office, America's given us a pressure fact will be Corbyn switching sides, even as American and Russian negotiators sit down together on Tuesday, 4th, since Moscow's full-fledged invasion of Ukraine nearly 3 years ago, Mr. Trump has signed signal his word to abandon mega allies to make common cause with President Vladimir Putin off Russia. As far as Mr. Trump is concerned, Russia is most responsible for the war that has devastated the neighbor. Instead, he suggests that Ukraine is to blame for Russia's invasion to it. To listen, Trump talked with reporters on Tuesday about the conflict was here, version of reality would be unrecognizable on the ground in Ukraine, and said it would never have been heard of from any other American president or other party. And Mr. Trump town, Ukrainian leaders were fought for the war for not agreeing to surrender territory, and therefore he suggested they do not deserve a seat at the table for the peace call talks that he just inundated with Mr. Putin. You should never have started it. Mr. Trump said, referring to Ukrainian leaders who in fact did not start it. You could have made it ill. Speaking to his Maragos out of Florida, he went on. You have a legislation now have allowed the war to go on and should never even happened. By contrast, Mr. Trump uttered not one word of reproach for Mr. Putin or for Russia, which first invaded Ukraine in 2014. Russia rioted the war against it for all 4 years of Mr. Trump's first term and then invaded it in 2022, aiming to take over the whole country. Mr. Trump is in the middle of executing one of the most short-term pitfalls in American foreign policy in a generation's 180-degree turn, which will force friends and foes rewrite in fundamental ways. Even since the end of World War II, a long pride of American presence saw the first Soviet Union and then, after a brief illusory anagram, it associates Russia as a force to be wary of at the very least. Mr. Trump gets every appearance of fearing as a collaborator in Trump ventures. He may create a United States as an isolated Mr. Peter for his unprovoked aggression against a weaker neighbor and a slaughter of hundreds of thousands of people, and said Mr. Trump has always been. People say fondness for Mr. Putin wants to remember Russia for the most international club and make one America's top friends. It's a disgraceful, refusal of 8 years of American foreign policy. See, Corey Shake, who is the director of Foreign Defense Policy, states of American Enterprise Institute and was a national security aide to George W. Bush. Through the Cold War, the U.S. refused to reach most of the conquest of the Baltic states and gave heart for people fighting for their freedom. She continued, now we legitimate aggression to create a space of influence. Every American president of the last 8 years would oppose President Trump's statement. In Mr. Trump's circle, a profoundly third creative years of misguided policy, he and his allies see the cost of defeating Europe as too high and given up the needs, coming to some kind of a combination with Moscow, and they see what allow the United States to bring home more troops to achieve the national security resources towards China, which is the S for our biggest threat, as Secretary of State Biden reported last month. The U.S. refused to steadily be just over the past week, just days after Vice President J.D. Vance escalated European ally aid for a threat from within. Once more, worrisome in Russia, Mr. Rubio met with Russia's foreign minister, Sergei Lavrov, and thought up the incredible opportunity that exists to partner with the Russians if I could simply dispose of the Ukraine war. But no, Ukraine readers were in the room for a meeting held in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, Madrid, other Europeans, all three. Mr. Rubio called several foreign ministers afterwards to brief him, and said by all appearances that this was meeting of the two big powers dividing up areas of dominance, a modern-day Congress of Vienna or Yalta Conference. Mr. Trump had long seen Mr. Rubio as a compatriot, a strong and very savvy player folks even to boy Ukraine into making territorial concessions was nothing short of genius. Mr. Putin his eyes was someone worthy of admiration and respect, unlike leaders of traditional youth allies like Germany, Canada or France, for whom he exhibit scorn. Indeed, Mr. Trump spent the first month in the second term starving the allies not leaving him out of the emerging Ukraine talks by threatening towns against him, demanding they increase their military spending and seizing claims over some of their most territory. His bearing patron, Elon Musk, finally backed the far-right alternative for Germany party. for now. But you have been see this. Oh, sorry. For now, the European see this as Trump mobilizing Russian rioters while treating as allies. The Europeans as untrusted, said Ian Bremmer, president of the Eurasian Group and International Consortium, supported by AfD, who the German leaders consider a neo-Nazi party, makes Trump look like an adversary to Europe's largest economy as extraordinary change. The upcoming election could see the Germanist CDU party to win over its progressive former coalition AfD, which will probably lead to Germany's most right-wing government since Nazi party in 1940s and during the height of the Second World War. It looks like a Nazism has returned to Germany. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump failed to campaign that he could end the Ukraine war in 24 hours, which he failed to do, and in fact he'll bring peace to Ukraine even as before the inauguration, which he also failed to do after the 90-minute phone call with Mr. Putin last week. Mr. Trump assigned Mr. Rubio and two other advisors, Michael Wells and Steve Witkoff, to pursue nuclear negotiations. But KCH said Mr. Trump and his team have tried to sound like a Kremlin rich with Russia to keep over Ukraine territory and legacies by force. He now says will not provide Ukraine with security guarantees, much as allowed to NATO. Session will be with the president, even such as that Russia to be remitted of group of seven match routes under expelled from its racial task force inclusion into Ukraine. What would Mr. Peter have to give up for the deal? He would have stopped killing Ukraine while his focus on fitting Mr. Trump's not hard that other considered would insist on, nor see how Mr. Peter could be trusted and keep a agreement, get a hit fired at 94 pay for guaranteeing Ukrainian sovereignty. And two CIS ideas, negotiated with Barrows in 2014 and 2015. Mr. Trump's evident days and his ability to see a deal with Mr. Putin mystifies future national security officials who dealt with Russia over the years. In Vivekio Institute for World Economy, U.S. allocated $158 billion compared with $190 billion in the United States. He also denied the president, Ukrainian president, from his six of Ukraine, saying more than once he had a 4% approval rating. And famous Mrs. Linsky's approval rating has fallen from his once travesty heights, but only around 50%, not very different from Trump's own. President programs have changed. I better hope America wants to deliver opposing America's that Trump promised, then transfer will probably go higher. As Trump is sided with aggressive brain victim in Kremlin, message I'm trying. Better hope you can win this war. Right now, well, it is. It is dance on song, tracking it back to 2014. Well, now it is. Fighter by suit on Chatterpedia. On Arrow FM.
wasted. All I wanna do is drive home to you, baby. I'm faded. All I wanna do is take you downtown, baby. I'm wasted. All I wanna do is drive home to you, baby. I'm faded. All I wanna do is take you downtown, baby.
Alright, I've outside of Bicycle, I'll try to beat on Aero FM. Todd, first of all, Ukraine is the second largest country in Europe in terms of total experience, 6 feet square, common with us, twice south of Italy, mama two units, world heritage sites. It's like some of the most important parts of the world that Ukraine is lucky enough to be home to, including the Soviet Cathedral and the capital city of Kiev. All three are the thing of Ukrainian feet. Many people are likely to say humble Chekhov, which actually probably not being a Ukrainian or probably Anglophone invention. But national Ukrainian dishes actually borscht. A distant of reason made from better beef left over from the Soviet Union. Mum for you, officially language Ukraine is of course Ukraine. However, there's 20 different languages spoken in Ukraine, including Russians, and 80% of Ukrainians are English speakers. Ukraine is home of our favorite horror parts of easiest witchery cards and pattern using wax and dye. We have Ukraine to thankful for your favorite decorative treat. Standing at 2600 meters, Mount Hovia, part of a covering mountain which falls in the western Ukraine. It's a tourist week in Ukraine and a popular site for extreme sports. Ukraine is the world's largest producer of sunflower seeds, and across every part of Ukraine, you'll see a sun vessel feast yellow braids, so many of them cover an entire solar if you uproot a theme. Ukraine is called the breadbasket of Europe because the boys are ideal condition for growing wheat and its major producer, all that stuff. Mum Nine was one of the most unique tourist attractions in Ukraine, the so-called Tunnel of Love, a city driven Dutch railway and a surrounded by sun grain and a swiper couple who are looking for a romantic walk. When finally, Ukraine is bordered by itself by the Black Sea and fear of control over Sumy Island, Commandant Saga, due reasons is the only net home of query in digit, going like the PIP 5, which we trip from last Ice Age. Right now, the fate of the day is... Christianity is the world's largest religion and over 2.4 billion adherents is about a third of the world's population. Right now, since I don't have time for another big song. Right now. Sorry, I don't have time to play another song. Sorry, well, that is it for Shadowpedia. I'll see you next Wednesday. This is Shadowpedia on Arrow FM.